Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's Offsides with Mark and Lonzo right here on ESPN Upstate. Great to be here with you guys. Super Tuesday edition of the show. Wonderful to be here with you. If you missed the interview, our exclusive with the Michael Jordan pizza maker on the eve of the flu game, the pizza maker that was accused of poisoning the pizza, there was an insinuation of that in The Last Dance by Jordan personal trainer Tim Grover. Jordan himself said, "I ate the pizza, I got sick." We spoke at 3:20 today to the man who made and delivered the pizza to MJ. His name is Craig Feight. And if you missed that interview, we'll replay that for you immediately in the next segment. As for us, it's time to get to an abbreviated version of Offsides with Markin of Offsides of Either Or, which starts right now. All right, let me get to a couple of tweets here first, Lonzo. Drew Bailey says, will Darren Granger play wide receiver this year for Furman? Did not get to get that question in. Thomas Worthland says he's curious if Clay Hendricks is proud of how Furman gave everyone no notice and everyone felt like they got a bomb dropped on him. I ran out of time to ask those questions, guys. I did get one listener question in. Sorry about that. Thomas says, I guess there wasn't a lot of time for audience participation on that one. I hold no ill will for Furman, but that was the most coach speak softball speech ever. He feels proud, and I don't remember him feeling sorry for all those damn kids. You know, I think Thomas honestly reflects the feelings of many in our area right now. Some people are bent. Some people are wanting more of an explanation than we got from Furman. Why did this just come out of the blue for everybody? You know, I think if you think about it, it would have been a bombshell at any time, right? There is no way to warn that you're going to get rid of baseball and the lacrosse programs. All right, Lonzo, here we go with either or for today. So, Lonzo, earlier today on the show, if I could get from you here clip number two, Dan Le Batard, in talking about the fact that we had this exclusive interview, made fun of our show name. Here is what that sounded like on national television.
Who would you prefer as a guest on the show today? This is a big question. Michael Jordan or the pizza poisoner?
That guy's going on somewhere. I told you before, I don't have it in front of me right now, but he's going on at 3:20. I believe it is the Mark Ryan show.
Okay, well, 80% of the audience said they'd rather listen to the Mark Ryan show. He's got the pizza poisoner on.
I believe his show is called Offsides because they got together at a meeting of terrible names for shows. And that's what they came up with. Offsides.
This coming from the makers of the Dan Le Batard show.
No, come on. The Dan Le Batard show with Stu Gatz is absolutely a better show in name only than Offsides.
I prefer end, but that's fine. I'm with you.
All right, so this brings to light the following question. People sometimes say, Lonzo, that there's no such thing as bad publicity. Do you buy or sell that general concept?
For the most part, I completely buy it. As long as your name is spelled correctly, hey, you know, good for us.
He totally trashed our show name, Lonzo. You're okay with that? You're okay with that? He hates the name Offsides.
It might bother me if I was the one who came up with the name, but I did not. So, you know, I'm good with it.
All right. I'm going to agree with Lonzo. I love the fact that he talked about us. And he makes fun of everything. He makes fun of everybody on his show. That's kind of the niche of the show, right? That's their brand. That's what they do. Nobody's immune to the barbs. And so, hey, Dan, thanks so much, man. Appreciate it. Tip of the cap to you. Love the show. Sorry you don't like the show name, but we're going to keep rolling with it, all right? Next time I'll invite you to the meeting of bad show names. All right, Lonzo, what do you got?
All right, in 2011, LeBron James considered playing in the NFL because of an NBA strike. Jerry Jones supposedly offered him a contract. Would LeBron be a bust in the NFL or a force to be reckoned with?
A freaking force to be reckoned with. Are you kidding me? Look at all the converted basketball players that were studs. Julius Peppers, albeit a different position. Antonio Gates. Tony Gonzalez played basketball at Cal. Are you kidding me? Now, what we don't know is can LeBron James block? But the athleticism, man, look, man, if you throw a ball up in the air in the end zone, if you're at the 5-yard line, third and goal from the 5, tell me a better play than a fade to LeBron who can high point it over anybody. Are you serious with this, man? LeBron James still, if he went to the NFL today, he'd be a top 10 tight end in the NFL tomorrow, Lonzo. Period. End of story. Thanks for playing.
You know, I completely agree. And of course, yes, I am a LeBron fan, but I mean, have you seen how dude is built? I think, as you pointed out, all those former basketball players that have done so well, I think he would have been great. But the other question would be is if he went to the NFL and started performing really, really well, would he have came back to basketball?
He was considering it, Lonzo. He was considering jumping. I think he always would have come back to his first love. But like Jordan, he was considering trying something else for a period of time. All right, this deserves its own topic, and we might do that on tomorrow's show. But the NFL is looking to amend. I have a hard time even saying this with a straight face. I can't even believe this, Lonzo. Was this some kind of joke? The NFL is looking to amend the Rooney Rule, which forces teams to interview minority candidates. Now, I've always been a proponent of the best man gets the job. I actually don't like that ESPN has a quota of each nationality, each race that they feel like they have to hire because they want to present equality. How about just hiring the best people, okay? If I am better than the best Indian broadcaster, I should win the job. Should I not? I don't care if you have too many white guys. I should win the job. So the NFL is looking at, but there is a problem in minority coaching hires in the NFL. There's no doubt about it. How can you say that the NFL has 73% African-American players, but only 2 out of 32 head coaches? Why are they not getting the opportunities? I think that is a fair question. So the NFL, Lonzo, comes out and is saying they're looking at a new policy where if you hire an African-American coach or general manager, a minority coach or general manager, you could have your draft position elevated by 10 spots in the third round. Onsides or offsides, Lonzo?
Definitely offsides. You know, I heard Stephen A. Smith talk about this, and he said that his preference would be that they have to be a coordinator, a successful coordinator, before they can become a head coach. And that will eliminate a lot of favoritism, because that would be the pool that when a head coach is hired from, would have to hire from coordinators. And I think that would be excellent, because then you wouldn't get some guys that just get hired right out of college without ever doing anything in the NFL. I think that would be the better move.
Lonzo, you have tweeted that you hope I have a figure eight in my future. What is that?
Look it up.
Is it something sexual? I can get behind that.
It is absolutely not something sexual, but I'm not surprised that you went there because, you know, all you've been thinking about is take a ride on the Ryan Express.
Yes, says the guy who's been saying that this whole show. All right, Lonzo, what do you got?
All right, no hugs, no spitting, and no showering in MLB's return. Which rule will be the first one broken?
No spitting. That is so ingrained in these fools. They spit everywhere. And you know what, Lonzo? The hell with me, because I realized the other day I spit when I run. I spit when I walk outside. There's something about being outside that makes you want to spit all of a sudden. And I had this realization as people were walking past me that this is not the day, this is not the time or place to be doing that anymore. Spitting, that will be so hard for them to enforce and a rule to break. It's just ingrained in playing baseball, man. You got the sunflower seeds, you're spitting. You're spitting on the mound. It's gross. I get it. The most gnarly place that is in existence on planet Earth is the dugout floor. You got cleats, you got spit, you got tobacco, you got gum, it's the most gnarly place you've ever seen in your life. That's the hardest one to enforce.
I absolutely agree. And from what I understand, they're banning sunflower seeds. So that will help eliminate it. But these guys are so, spitting is a part of baseball. There's no way they can do it there's no way they can play the game without doing that.
Yeah, no, I totally agree, and I didn't know the thing about sunflower seeds, but that's probably smart because they all stick their hands in the same bucket, throw it in their mouth, spit them out all over the place. It's just gross, man. All right, folks, that is Either Or for today. Coming up next on the show, if you missed our exclusive with the man that made the pizza and then delivered the pizza to Michael Jordan on the eve of the flu game, the man who was talked about in The Last Dance. We will allow you to meet the man who made the pizza on the eve of the flu game because we had him on for an interview, and we'll play that for you next right here on Offsides, ESPN Upstate.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
So this is one of the truly fun days to get to do what we do for a living, man. It has just been a blast. And it's been a blast because The gentleman that's joining us right now here on the show has been kind enough to give us his time. I'm sure his day is getting a little bit crazy. His name is Craig Feight, and he claims to be the man that made Michael Jordan's pizza on the eve of the flu game. This would have been June 10th, 1997. Craig Feight joins us right now on the show. Craig, it is awesome to have you on here with us, man. Thank you so much for making the time. Are you doing all right?
Everything's doing great. It's kind of a whirlwind, but I appreciate the chance to come on.
I'll tell you what, Craig, I did my best. I did not reveal your name to anybody because I knew as soon as we announced that we were going to have the pizza maker on, that everyone else in the media was going to be clamoring for you. And I know you've got the major networks coming after you now as well. So I truly appreciate you keeping your commitment to us here, man. Thanks so much.
Hey, I'm willing to chat about this and get the truth out there.
Okay, so can you tell us the story of what happened on June 10th, 1997? You are at work. May I ask where you were working?
Yeah, and I guess the best way to put it is it's already out there where I was working. So I was at Pizza Hut. I was an assistant manager at Pizza Hut.
Okay.
And here's to hoping I'm sure I'm going to get a phone call from Pizza Hut. Anyway, I was an assistant manager at Pizza Hut, and we had known the Bulls, this is in Park City in Utah here. That's a ski resort town, for those that don't know, up in Park City, huge ski resort town where Deer Valley and all that stuff is located. And so we knew the Bulls were up there, and it's obviously a big event here in Utah with the Jazz being in the championship and then playing the Bulls, and, of course, it being Michael and the gang. So we know they're at the Marriott. They'd already been up there. They already played game three and game four, and this is, I want to say it's a Tuesday night. I'm pretty sure it was a Tuesday night that this happened, where normally when the Bulls would order stuff from us, which they had done before, they had ordered, you know, 10 pizzas at a time kind of thing. They were feeding, obviously, a bunch of people. This call came in towards the evening time, and Michael had said it on the Last Dance. He had said, you know, hey, it was around 10 o'clock. He got hungry or whatever, and he ordered a pizza. He got a pizza ordered. And which is right. It was toward the end of the evening. And so when the driver took the call, he motioned to me and motioned down to the pad and said, hey, you know, basically let me, you know, tell me, hey, watch this. Gets off the phone and says, hey, it's going to the mayor. I think it's for the Bulls. And he goes, maybe for one of the players or something. Because it was odd. It was, again, one pizza, one pie that was going out there. And so anyway, when he said that, I was like, all right, fine, I'm going to do it. Because I was the Bulls fan. I'm a big Bulls fan. Well, I was definitely a big Jordan, Scotty, Rodman, you know, Horace Grant, all those guys. Big Jordan, big
Bulls
fan.
So you're the only Bulls fan at that Pizza Hut. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, I can't see myself letting a Jazz fan make a Bulls player's pizza.
Absolutely. I mean, I made the kind of the gag was I said, let me go wash my hands. I'm going to make this pizza and take care of it. It was a large, thin and crispy pepperoni pizza. And I said, let me go wash my hands and do it. And the running gag for a while after that was, well, whatever you do, don't wash your hands. You get people sick. So anyway, so once I go ahead and make the pizza, and I jokingly said, I'm not going to let any of you guys make this pizza. I'll make it, you know, take care of the Bulls. And which, of course, I had no idea that was what this was going to turn into. But anyway, so I make the pizza. And like I tell people, I kind of geeked out a little bit, watched the pizza going through the oven to make sure it didn't. It was a good pizza. I had only been working at the Pizza Hut for a little while. I think it was about 3 or 4 weeks. Forgive me for not remembering. This was 22, 23 years ago. But, you know, I make sure the whole thing it goes good. I get the pie out. I cut it up, and we put it in there. And the driver, I tell the driver, you're going to take me there. So sure enough, we head over there. And the Marriott, which is at the base of Park City Mountain – or not, sorry, Park City Mountain Resort, but the base of Main Street is about 5 minutes from where this Pizza Hut was. This Pizza Hut's now gone, but we were only about 5 minutes away from it or so. And so we drive over, you kind of go through security, you know, the details there of being a cop car in the place or whatever. You go through security, they're like, great, go in. And like I tell people, you can smell the cigar smoke when you walked into the building. And then I go up to the elevator, you get in there, and as we come off the elevator, of course, I've said it before where, boys, cigars, the smell just punched you right in the face. It was a really thick smell of cigar smoke. And so, whatever, you know, you're on the right floor, I guess is the best way to put it. So I walk over, and as we're going over, one of the players, and I cannot remember which one it was, as I tell people, it clearly wasn't Scotty Rodman or Tony Kukoc, because I would remember that. But one of them asked me, said, "Hey, pizza, who's that for?" And I said, "Well, I told him the room number because I had no idea. We had no idea who it was for. We had a room number. Go ahead." And he says, "Oh, that's Mike. See you. Bye. Get out of here. Whatever." And so we're like, okay, so now we know who it's for. And, of course, you know, we're excited about that part. So we go over and knock on the door. You know, what, 10 seconds it took me to walk over to the door, knock on it. Then the trainer answers the door, the guy, the trainer that's been doing all the interviews and stuff, Michael's trainer. He answers the door, barely opens up the door, kind of peeks out and sees. And I said, "Hey, pizza delivery. We've got the pizza ready." Give him the price, and he, you know, nods or whatever and shuts the door, goes back, opens up the door back up and hands me a 20, kind of gestures to me to keep the change or whatever. And then, of course, you know, as anybody, I'm sure they had the chance, this is my one chance to say, I asked him, I said, "Hey, would it be okay if I said hi to Mike?" And I don't remember the details of what happened from this point. I don't remember if he asked or if he just kind of opened the door more or whatever, but Mike was, or if Mike heard what was going on, I just remember, because it was the cool event of the whole thing. Michael had his back to me. He was sitting at a table. They were playing cards, and you could smell the cigar smoke and all that fun stuff and see the smoke inside the room. He just raised his hand and said, "Thanks, man." And then the trainer looked at me, shut the door. And then I said, I guess we're done. And that's pretty much what happened.
Wow. So Craig Feit was an assistant manager at a Pizza Hut in Park City, Utah, on the night of June 10th, 1997, the eve of the famous flu game. And then, of course, you hear the next day that he's sick. And then I heard, Craig, that you heard Bob Costas say something that kind of that kind of set you off a little bit.
Yes, and I have, from that standpoint, I've got to clarify, Bob Costas was not during the pregame is when I heard something. In fact, I even got a phone call from one of the guys at work, and I can't remember who it was, but one of the guys at work called me, and they all were laughing and giving me a hard time because I had obviously told people, you know, regaled people with the fact that I delivered this pizza to them. People were calling me and basically laughing and saying, "Hey, way to go, way to help the Jazz out. You got Michael sick." Now, from that standpoint, I got to be clear with everybody because obviously this is, you know, this is a detail that people want to understand, and I hope I remembered this right. But I remembered Bob Costas saying something during a pregame, but as it's been pointed out to me, Bob Costas did not do well, – that was the only year he didn't do any of the pregame stuff. It was okay. Hannah Storm or someone along those lines to do it. So for that part, I apologize not only to Bob Costas but to anybody for getting that fact wrong. But – the idea, and I think what happened was I remember he was on the next year, and I remember then, you know, all of that kind of commotion that went on about the flu game. So I think I just, after all these years, I've kind of merged those things together. But anyway, I heard on there, and I think as people will watch it or whatever, I'm almost positive somebody indicated that he was sick and it was possible. Now, I remember it being, of course, after all these years, that it was food poisoning. Someone said pizza or something along those lines. I have to admit, I could literally be thinking of both. You know what I mean? We knew more about it in the second series. The next year when they played, that he thought, you know, because I remember the comment to Jordan, "Hey, you're down in Salt Lake this year," because they stayed in Salt Lake the second time, "and you can order a pizza," and that was a running, no. So from that standpoint, but I do remember when he was sick, it was insinuated that because Ahmad Rashad had said, "Hey, he's got flu-like symptoms." And, of course, when you say flu-like or anything like after it, I took it, and, of course, all the people calling me and giving me a hard time, it maybe is insinuation or whatever that he, you know, that the pizza got him sick. So I, of course, was fired up about that. And, you know, I was like, BS, I'm the Bulls fan inside the whole thing. Heck, I named my son after this guy. So I'm not.
Did you really?
Trying to get this guy sick. Yeah, my son's name is AJ Feit or Alexander Jordan Feit.
Wow. Okay.
And
okay.
The even funnier part is my son wasn't born until the following year. In fact, my wife is a big Jazz fan. So the bet for the game was whoever wins the second series, the second time, you know, the final one that the whole Last Dance is about.
Sure.
Whoever won that, my son was going to come home in that jersey, whether it was going to be John Stockton or Michael Jordan. I still have that Jordan thing. But that game, I mean, the whole thing is epic. I'm not angry or mad at anybody for all of this stuff, especially Michael Jordan stuff, because, you know, heck, after that whole thing, I took that as perseverance. And why wouldn't you want, you know, to be associated with that type of grit, I guess is a good way to put it, whatever. So
there you go. So if we could hear Lonzo get clip number three, I want to play the part of this that was on The Last Dance that we just saw this weekend that really has made your world change here, Craig. And this is what we heard, and it really seemed as though they're kind of, you know, they're certainly inferring that he was food poisoned by the pizza that you made. Let's hear this from The Last Dance.
A couple of security guys.
The night before the game, we were on Michael's room hanging out.
It's like 10:30 at night. I'm hungry.
No room service. Michael gets hungry. So we're calling all these different places. George and I are looking around. We find one pizza place open. One. So you ordered a pizza. And when the pizza came, there was four or five guys outside the door. Five guys delivering one pizza. You know, it's very rare that you get five delivery guys from, you know, the pizza place bringing the pizza. And they're all trying to look in, and, you know, everybody knew it was mine. So I take the pizza, I pay them, and I put this pizza down, and I said, I got a bad feeling about this.
I eat the pizza all by myself. Nobody likes to eat the pizza. I wake up about 2:30, throwing up left and right.
3:00 in the morning, I get a call, get to the room right now. Get into him. He's literally curled up in a ball, shaking. This man, find a team doc now.
So I really went to flu game. It was.
Is there any possibility, Craig, that anything on the pizza had spoiled, expired, or been tampered with in any way by someone other than you prior to you making the pizza?
No.
Is that a good definitive
answer for you?
Yeah, I
will tell you that I've heard that, you know, and I have said their name, and I have no affiliation with Pizza Hut now, and I hope they're – I don't know. I keep laughing because I keep expecting a phone call from them or something. But, look, Pizza
that
Hut –
That might be happening. That might be coming.
It might be. Pizza Hut did a great job, great training. We had rules that we had to follow. I was a new assistant manager. I was trying to become a store manager, or at least have an opportunity at it at the time, which eventually I did become of that store. And so we're following all the rules, all the food handlers' rules that were in there, all the documentation of Pizza Hut. Pizza Hut was great. That whole thing was great. It wasn't an issue at all. And, of course, you know, while I cannot sit there and definitively say that I checked out each pepperoni piece exactly to make sure it was fresh. And I can also tell you that absolutely nobody else reported food poisoning, reported any issues with any of the pizzas that we made that night. With the Bulls in town, we were, you know, while it was a downtime, we still were making enough food. And some other good points are like, you know, we had other times we could have made them all sick instead of just one guy. And we had no idea that this was, it was a guess that it was going to be one of the Bulls players. And we sure as heck had no idea that it was Michael that was going to get this pizza, you know, but the two of us showed up, and it was under the chance that we might meet some of them. And of course, Michael being the ultimate one to meet. And of course that scenario is what happened, but the five guy stuff, I tell you, I really didn't have much of an issue with any of this. And I've told the story for many, many years. So there's more than enough people around here that can, if you will, back me up on it. But the idea being that when it came out that this whole thing was about how five guys, and then they really did insinuate that we tried to get them sick or doing whatever. And I'm like, that's a bunch of crap. If anything, I was trying to make sure the pizza was perfect for him. And you know, that one moment that I had a chance to be around Michael Jordan. So anyway,
I appreciate you sharing that. I'd like to ask what you think happened to Michael. And I'd like to present just another possibility, another theory. You said the room was absolutely filled with smoke to the point where you could smell it outside, to the point where you could smell it in the hallway, right? Now, again, I would like also to say, Craig, that I have no idea what happened to Michael. You know, the other host on our station, Rob Brown, feels as though he was hungover. And right. I have no earthly idea. Prior to hearing this story from you and really believing you and connecting last night, I wondered for myself, maybe a Utah fan made the pizza. I didn't know. I wasn't educated. But here's the reality. Smoking, cigars put out more smoke than cigarettes, and cigars and smoking can cause carbon monoxide issues. if he shut the windows and had a whole room full of smoke, that could be an explanation for the symptoms that he felt the next day, which, oh, by the way, Craig, mimic the symptoms of food poisoning, symptoms of carbon monoxide issues, flu-like symptoms, fatigue, nauseous, vomiting, diarrhea, abdominal pain, and headache. Did that not look like what he was experiencing the next night in the game?
I would agree with you on that. And I would even also throw out there altitude sickness could be possibly, even for the big-time athletes. We have, you know, at Utah, at Park City, the U.S. ski team will work out, and some of them would get that periodically. I hear stories about that. So that's also a possibility. I will tell you that I do remember, and I've said this before, so, you know, if there's something different, again, we're talking, you know, someone had made the point that they thought that we were trying to lure in or look in or something. We never stepped towards the door, came close to the door, because that's not what you do. And also a guy that's that standoffish, you know, as a delivery guy, you're not going to step into it, and especially with this crew. And so anyway, when the door opened up more, I believe I saw windows open because of the smoke. But I would tell you one thing about Park City is where it is located. When the sun starts to go behind the mountains, while it's not setting, I misspoke that the other day, it's not setting, it's just that the sun starts to not hit parts of the town because it's going behind the mountains as it starts to set. And so it just drops in temperature. And so it's generally 10 degrees or so less up in Park City than it is down in Salt Lake. So I think we're trying to recollect something from 23 years ago in a 3 to 5 second snapshot of me looking out. I could have sworn windows were open and, you know, trying to air the place out a little bit because it was cool. And I remember having a little jacket on or something along those lines, but we were in uniform. So anyway, I think it's possible that, but I think he, who knows what happened as many days up to that point. And I've said this before, pizza wasn't the only thing he ate that day. And I don't know whether I can't imagine that that's the only thing that happened, but I'm positive that we followed all the rules and I followed all the rules that Pizza Hut out there and it was great with Pizza Hut and the way they did things. So
was the delivery
kind of where I stand with it.
Yeah. Craig, what time was the delivery?
It was later in the evening. I always kind of giggle because I think I left the store and I may have been the manager on duty and I left the store, which of course you're not supposed to do, but it was after 10. It was later towards closing when it happened. And I think I just, you know, I can tell you, I pretty much, as soon as we thought it might be the Bulls, I was like, this is a chance. This is my opportunity to go, you know, see them, get a chance to go up front and actually say hi to one of them or whatever. You know what I mean? That seemed to be the only chance. But it was definitely late and into the last hour of the shift. We closed at 11. We didn't stay open late or anything along the lines or do anything extra for them.
You know, interesting. Was Pizza Hut, in fact, the only local pizza parlor that would have been open at that time? That's what Tim Grover seemed to attest.
Yeah, and no, it was not. Domino's was open as well. And
okay.
There were, I can't tell you, because for us, obviously, I don't know exactly who was open up there at the time. But I do know that, you know, for us, it's competition. You know, obviously, Pizza Hut and Domino's. The two of us were open. They could have called either one of those. In fact, Domino's was, we were both about the same distance from him. So from that standpoint, when he gets so emphatic, when Grover's so emphatic about there were five guys and then there was only one place and he's really, and I'm like, you know, unfortunately that's someone that doesn't remember everything about it or whatever. I don't know. I've heard nothing but good things about the guy until this whole thing. And obviously I'm the recipient of him saying something bad happened. But you know, his job's to keep Michael healthy and stuff. And obviously Michael wasn't healthy. And mind you, it would be one of the greatest games of all time. And what do you make of that? I'm sorry, you have to find an excuse for it. It's okay. If all he did was really have the flu, it still would have made a great game. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there's no doubt
about
that. No doubt about that. Craig, I want to let our audience know how I vetted you for this. We had on Austin Horton, who is an executive producer of the Zone Sports Network out of Salt Lake City yesterday, mm-hmm. was a fantastic guest. He put me in contact with you last night. You were gracious enough to take my call. We chatted for 10 or 15 minutes. I appreciated so much everything you said, and they told me at the Zone Sports Network that, in their opinion, you really checked out. I felt the same way when I spoke to you. I'm like, man, there are way too many facts here that could possibly have been made up or conjured up. And then, Craig, I don't even know if you realize this, But I called area pizza parlors to see if anyone knows who you are or heard this story before. And you are a bit of a cultural phenomenon there. Twice today when I was calling different parlors, they said, that's the guy. They said, this is the guy. So when I have the Zone Sports Network, when I have my own vetting process, and then when I'm calling area pizza parlors, and you're kind of an urban legend, my man, they know who you are, you know? And so, you know, I believe you. I want to let you know that more than anything, is that I firmly believe you on this. I find you believable. Everybody has to decide for themselves what to believe here. And so I think the question remains, what did actually happen to Michael Jordan? You know, I heard you mention on the Salt Lake City interview, Craig, that you wish you could get back in touch with the guy that rode with you, the part-time employee that rode with you. I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but I wanted to share this with you. There was a caller yesterday to the Dan Patrick Show. He says that his friend was the guy who made the pizza and delivered it. He worked at Pizza Hut, and he was the only guy that went, not four or five guys. This sounds like it may be the guy that you worked with.
No, actually, I know who it was. It's a guy I coached football with who I've told the story many years ago. And James is a great guy, and he loves all this kind of stuff. So he was really adamant about the fact that he wanted to call and, you know, get it out there because I wasn't making a big deal about it yet. But when this whole thing started, he's like, oh, I'm going to call him. And so, unfortunately, that was not the guy that I worked with there. But James is a good guy, and I do – James actually texted me and said, hey, you got to watch the Dan Patrick Show at like the 53-minute mark or something, whatever it was. I called him and talked to him, and he came back to me. He goes, I'm sorry, I got some of the details wrong. I said, that's all right, but I appreciate you. You know, I appreciate all this, and I do. I appreciate everybody just hearing the side, and I know they got to make it. I unfortunately do get very much that this is my word against these guys, but I don't know whether it's good, bad, and different. They only have three or four guys that are telling you what happened, and I got loads of people that'll tell you I've told the story forever. And I don't know. I hope people will believe it, and it's the truth. It's what happened. And again, I started it. The whole reason behind me getting this out there now, finally, because I know I've been catching a lot of crap for why now I bring it up. Well, now it's a story. It wasn't a story when it happened before, and people can check. And I've already told the story before. And put it on Facebook a few years ago, all that kind of stuff. But I was like, you know, that's a bunch of crap. Nobody here in Utah. Utah's a great state, great stuff about it, great people about it. The Jazz fans are good. You know, yeah, we're as aggressive as anybody, but we're good people. We don't have to, and I say we now, because obviously I'm more of a Jazz fan now than the Bulls. But anyway, I really appreciate the chance to be able to say this, but I wanted to get that part out because it's Pizzagate. Everybody wants to know what's going on.
That's so. Absolutely the case. So I the last thing before we let you go, Craig, you know, in that documentary, Michael Jordan does not directly insinuate that the pizza made him sick. He says, I ate the pizza, and then later in the evening, I was sick. I think Tim Grover is the guy that was really pointing the finger more in your direction. And I was going to ask you said you're more of a Jazz fan today. Is the sour taste from this experience what pulled you away from being a Bulls fan?
No. I am absolutely loved being able to watch all this stuff about Michael Jordan and all the different things that are going on there. I have absolutely no animosity towards – I don't have any animosity towards Grover either and what he's saying. He's trying to remember what was going on. That's how he recalls it. I just know that for these guys, I am literally – this moment was kind of a blip where the game itself was the big deal. They just try to come up with a reason. But for me, that moment of me being able to deliver that pizza was just awesome. That's my story. That's – you know, I can tell my kid that, who's named after him, all those things. And, again, I named him well after all this happened. I get at a loss of words, but I have no problem with it. I just stopped being a Bulls fan because of Jerry Krause and what he did. They should have kept playing, and I loved all those guys. And when they moved on, just so people know, I happen to work at the Pro Image, which was owned by Larry Miller, who owns the Utah Jazz, or did, God rest his soul. And so I've been around the Jazz and met the players and stuff like that. So, and my wife's a big Jazz fan. So now because I'm in the town, you kind of get inundated with Jazz stuff. So it's all good stuff. But I'm a diehard Bulls guy. I'll fight to the death about who's the best team of all time, all those guys. Give me those guys over anybody.
Craig Feitz was the assistant manager at the Park City Pizza Hut on June 10th, 1997, the day before the infamous flu game with Michael Jordan. We still don't know what happened, but we now, according to me, know conclusively that the pizza itself was not doctored or poisoned in any way. Craig, I believe you. I can't thank you enough for making the time. I commend you for how you're dealing with all of this perhaps unwelcome attention. And thank you so, so much, man. Please stay well for us, okay?
Will do, and thank you so much for letting me on. I really appreciate it.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Great to be with you guys here on a Super Tuesday edition of the show Offsides with Mark and Lonzo rolling on right here on ESPN Upstate. Just making national news today. No big deal. No big deal. Having on the man that made the pizza. What were your takeaways on that interview? Who do you believe most importantly? Are you on Team Jordan and Team Jordan trainer Tim Grover? We suffered food poisoning from the pizza that was made. Our pizza was poisoned. Or are you on Craig Fight's team, who said, I did absolutely nothing to that pizza whatsoever. I was actually a Bulls fan. I was actually a Jordan fan. Lonzo, pick your side right now. What side are you on?
I'm going to go with our guest. Again, it's recollection of people and things like that. And have you ever had food poison before?
I have felt really, really rank after eating before, Lonzo. I was sweating profusely. I felt like I was going to collapse after I ate a food, and that probably was because I ate like a quadruple cheeseburger, right? But
I have had it, and I remember the place. I remember how bad I felt afterwards, and I never went back there. And it was a national chain. And it was seafood.
What was it?
I don't want to say the name.
I just figured it out.
No, you didn't, because there's more than one national seafood chain.
No, there isn't. Not really.
Yeah, actually there is. And I'm not sure that the one that I'm thinking of is actually here in the South. I think it may be more
based in the North. So it didn't rhyme with bed copster?
No, absolutely not. I've never had anything bad from there. No, this is kind of a fast food type seafood place.
And
I will tell you, I had the crab there, and
okay.
I will never do that again ever in my entire life.
So bad.
If I drove past the place right now, I would feel ill.
So you had the crab, and then afterward you had crabs, right?
No,
is that what you're saying?
No, that comes from a totally different place. That comes from take a ride. No, I'm not gonna do it.
Take a ride on the Riot Express, ladies and gentlemen. We have also been, Dave, and by the way, folks, if I may, I am on Craig Fight's side as well. If you listen to that interview, that guy did nothing to the darn pizza. Did Jordan have carbon monoxide poisoning from having too much smoke in his room? You know, Craig Fight said in the interview, it wasn't the only thing he ate that day. Why is the pizza to blame? You know, when you get sick, it's really easy to blame the very last person you saw but it's very rarely the last person that you saw that got you sick. The same could be said for what you eat. Lonzo, when you had that food poisoning, how swiftly after eating were you sick? Was it a day or two? Was it right away?
No, it was like a couple hours later.
Yeah,
when it hit, it not only hit me, if I recall, it got my wife also. So it was not a pleasant place to be.
Yeah, not a pleasant.
At the time, I believe.
Enlighten us as to the symptoms.
Extreme stomach pain, things coming out both ends. And at the time, if I recall, we only had one restroom. So, yeah, it was not. Yeah.
Oh, boy. Well, I promise you that the best thing we heard today will be better than that, and it will be next, right here on Offsides, ESPN Upstate.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
It's Offsides with Mark and Lonzo right here on ESPN Upstate. Happy Super Tuesday show, everybody, and what a fun show it was. You know, at the end of a great day of work, you say to yourself, I've earned the cold one today, right? Or in Lonzo's case, I have earned the bowl of Lucky Charms today. And for me, today is that day. For us, today is that day because we made national news today. It was a fantastic, just a fantastic experience, man. Got to see myself on ESPN, hear people talking about me on the major networks because we had the pizza guy that made the Jordan pizza the day before Jordan played in the flu game. Everyone wondering, was the pizza poisoned? Was it not poisoned? You heard the answer right here today, only on ESPN Upstate. And folks, if I may, it is a joy to be able to bring you that exclusive. I love it here in the Upstate. I love the people here in the Upstate. I love you guys. I appreciate all your support of the show. And if I can deliver to you something like we did today that nobody else has, it is a fantastic, fantastic feeling. All right, time to do that little ditty where we tell you the best thing we heard today, and the best thing we heard today starts right now.
You know what? I think this is really, really obvious.
Who would you prefer as a guest on the show today? This is a big question. Michael Jordan or the pizza poisoner?
That guy's going on somewhere. I told you before, I don't have it in front of me right now, but he's going on at 3:20. I believe it is the Mark Ryan show.
Okay, well, 80% of the audience said they'd rather listen to the Mark Ryan show. He's got the pizza poisoner on.
I believe his show is called Offsides because they got together at a meeting of terrible names for shows, and that's what they came up with, Offsides.
This coming from the makers of the Dan Le Batard show.
No, come on. The Dan Le Batard show with Stu Gatz is absolutely a better show in name only than Offsides.
I prefer End, but that's fine. I'm with you.
So there you have it, folks. There you have it. Love that we made it on the show, even down with them making fun of us. I'm cool with it. Lonzo, did you take any offense to that at all?
No, because, you know, with a show like that, if you get made fun of, that means you're relevant. If they just ignore you, that means, well, you're not relevant.
Lonzo, I don't know how many days in our history we are going to be able to say we were relevant. But we were relevant today, by golly. We were relevant today. So, Lonzo, extra pizza tots for you tonight. I'll pour a White Claw in your honor on my end. And thank God they were making fun of Offsides. What would they have said, Lonzo, if the show name was the Ryan Express? What would they have said about that? Oh, I don't think that would have gone too well for us, do you?
It would have been unlimited. There would have been so much fun.
His show, can you imagine, what would Le Batard say? Wait a minute, his show name is the Ryan Express? Did you say the Ryan Express? Is that his show name, the Ryan Express?
I want to. When you get tired of hearing the Ryan Express, remember you're the one that started it by bringing up the Pony Express and then finding out it was the Ryan Express, because we're not going to let this die.
Our boss said to us that I'm sounding like a pony on all this stuff. As is the case every single day, ladies and gentlemen, I appreciate you so much. You guys have been awesome today. You are incredible every single day. A texter says Levitard's show should be called Backside. Love it. Absolutely, positively love it. Love you guys. It's an honor to be able to do this show each and every day. But listen, we are not done. We are just getting started. When will be the next time we make national news? It's what we do here on Offsides with Mark and Lonzo, ESPN Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.